Bible.
I am.
What it says I am.
I can do
what it says I can do. Now say, I am a believer and not a doubter.
I am a doer,
not just a hearer.
And my life
is the better
after having heard
the word of faith.
Faith cometh by hearing,
and hearing,
and hearing by
the word of God.
All right, now you can go to Malachi, the 3rd chapter, and I'll be there in just a moment. We're in our series entitled, I Have Decided.
I Have Decided.
And so this series has been just a whole lot to do with making good decisions. It has a whole lot to do with making good decisions. Of course, 2018, we know that you've got goals, you've got plans, and you should have goals and you should have plans. And we believe that this is going to be your best year yet. And I just wanted to come alongside of you and help you make some spiritual decisions that I believe that will be some of the best decisions that you would make. And in the beginning, if you remember, we started talking about how we were going to make the most of our, I have decided to make the most of our new of my new year. You know, I have decided to keep Jesus at the center of my life. We talked about those kind of things. I think one service we talked a little bit about partnership. I've decided to be a partner. We just kind of been talking about last week. We talked, I have decided to live by faith because the Bible teaches us that the just shall live by faith. And so today I want to talk to you from the subject of I have decided to give God the first. I have decided to give God the first. I am a giver. I have been a giver all of my life. My father taught me to give as a little boy. When I was 7, 8 years old, if I got $20 for my birthday, I was going to give tithes and offering off the $20. And I'm so glad that my father taught me at a young age, which would be a good thing for you to do with your children now at this age, is to teach them so that way as they grow, they'll understand the ways of God so that they can prosper. Can I get a good amen? And so I want to talk to you about giving God the first. Of course, when we say the first, we're talking about the tithe. And so I believe here at Without Limits, we say giving is not what? That's right. It's not a game, but it's God's plan to prosper your life. And so when you do it God's way, you'll get God results. So let me just start off by explaining that every time you get paid, every time you get any kind of income, you take a test. All right. Every time you get any kind of income, you are going to take a test. Matter of fact, how many of you all in the room get paid once a week? Let me see your hands for once a week. Once a week. Okay, we have some that get paid once a week. How many in the room get paid either every other week or twice a month? That's going to probably be a lot of. Yeah, yeah. All right. How many of us get paid monthly? Okay, some of us get paid. Okay, how many of us don't get paid at all? All right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're praying for y'all. Amen. But if you ever do get paid, or if you ever receive any type of increase, because the Bible just doesn't say off of what you get paid, it says off of all of our increase, my birthday money, everything, then you are going to take a test. You take a test every time. Who are you going to thank for the income that you receive? You got it? Who are you going to worship for the income that you receive? Principle, I probably won't even get to it today, teaches me that whoever I give the first to has to have the power to bless the rest. You got it? So it's vitally important that I make sure that I give the first to God, because Visa can't bless the rest. JCPenney can't bless the rest. Isn't that right? Okay, Malachi, the 3rd chapter and the 6th verse, I want to jump right into it, and I just want to show you some truths from the Word of God. It says, for I am the Lord. Watch what these next 4 words say. I do not change. Jesus says, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he was the same in the Old Testament. He's the same in the New Testament. I am the Lord. I do not change. Watch what he says. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Now, they were really making some mistakes, and he was saying, hey, I was a God of grace. I still am a God of grace. That's why I haven't wiped you off the face of the planet. That's kind of really the backdrop, if you understand it. All right. It says, yet from the days of your father, you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Watch what he says. Return to me, which is really the whole backdrop of the book of Malachi, is us returning to him. He says, return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. Says who? The Lord of hosts. So this is God speaking. He says, but you said, in what way shall we return? So they ask a question, and then God asks a question. He says, will a man rob God? He says, yet you have robbed me, but you say, well, how have we robbed you? He says, in tithes and in offerings. He says, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. I'm going to keep going, but before I go any further, because there's a theological persuasion that says that when you don't give your tithe, God curses you, and that's not what he says. He says you put yourself in a voluntary position to fall under the curse. You got it? So God doesn't curse you. He says you are cursed with the curse. He says, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Because, see, God doesn't want you cursed. God wants you blessed. Right? He says, bring a little bit of the tithe. Okay. Well, just the money you get paid on from your main job. Okay. Bring all the tithe into the storehouse. The storehouse is the local church. That there may be food in my house, the church, and try me now, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field. Here we go, says the Lord of hosts. This is God talking. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. And so this is the God who cannot change, who is teaching us this principle. And so it's very important to understand. He says, you have gone away from my ordinances, my ordinances. Tithing was an ordinance. Let me help you when you begin to understand ordinance, because I like to break everything down so by the time you leave, there was nothing I said that you didn't understand. And so when we begin to talk about an ordinance is a principle of ordinary behavior. It is ordinary for people to thank God and to worship him from their increase and from their income. And so it was a normal, it's something that they did, not just under the law. You got it? It was happened way before the law. It is something from the very beginning. Go back to Cain and Abel and the whole fight because he one gave the first and the other didn't give the first. It goes all the way back to the very beginning. And so giving the first portion is ordinary behavior to show thanks to God for all that he has done for you. And so here he's basically saying, you got it? If I tithe, I'm blessed. If I don't tithe, I'm cursed. It doesn't say God curses me. It says, I just voluntarily put myself. So let me see. If I tithe, I'm blessed. If I don't tithe, I'm cursed. If I tithe, I'm blessed. If I don't tithe. I feel like saying, like, I'm not a smart man, but I do want to be blessed. You got it? And so, you know, and I talk to God because I'm like, God, I want to help people. You know, I want them to understand these ordinary principles. I want to understand that Malachi is a book about returning back to God. When you read chapter 1, it's about returning back to God in your faith. When you read chapter 2, it's about returning back to God in your family. When you read chapter 3, it's about returning to God in your finances. And then when you read chapter 4, it's about God returning back to us. That's really the backdrop of the book of Malachi. And so, you know, and you know, I think every preacher has this conversation with God. Like, you know, God, you put it in Malachi. People always think law, you know, and it was really only 15 verses from Matthew. Like, it would have been real cool if you would have just waited 15 verses and put it right in the book of Matthew. And God said, no, that's not, I put it exactly where I wanted it. And the reason God put it exactly where he wanted it is because of my first point, my point number one, and they'll put it on the screen, that tithing is a test, all right? Tithing is a test. Everybody say tithing is a test. It is a test of your faith. Are you going to believe his word and trust him as your source? Are you going to trust God as your source, or are you going to try to make it happen on your own? I don't know about you, but I can't trust myself, but I can trust God. Now, the word tithe means a tenth part. The word tithe means a tenth part. The number 10 in the Bible represents testing. The number 10 in the Bible represents testing. The number 10 represents testing throughout all scriptures, okay? I'm going to ask you some questions, and I want you to respond. Now, there's going to be a normal pattern to your answer, so you'll kind of pick it up pretty quick. How many plagues were there in Egypt? 10. Okay, that was good, but I'm going to need y'all to be a whole lot louder than that because I don't want anyone on the podcast thinking that Pastor's just teaching to 30 people. All right? Okay. So let's try that one again. How many plagues were there in Egypt?
10.
10, right? Really, you could say how many times did God test Pharaoh's heart, because he said that that's how I was going to test Pharaoh's heart, all right? How many commandments are there? That's right. And now, so you might not know some of these answers that I'm about to ask you the questions, but there's kind of a normal pattern to where we're going. Okay, all right. How many times did God test Israel in the wilderness?
10.
How many times were Jacob's wages changed?
10.
How many days was Daniel tested?
10.
How many virgins were tested in Matthew 25?
10.
How many days of testing are mentioned in the book of Revelation? How many disciples were there? No, there was just 12. There wasn't 10. That was a test. That was a test. So God is testing our hearts, and this is the only place in Scripture. You need to hear me. This is the only place in Scripture where God says you can test him. This is the only place in the entire Bible where the Bible says that you can test him. And then there's all these arguments, and I like to try to cover a little bit of everything. You know, some people say, well, I don't have to tithe because Jesus bore the curse of the law, so I can't be cursed because I'm a Christian. Well, first of all, a curse is just a consequence. That's really what a curse is. You got it. It's just, and so are you telling me, because, see, not only did Jesus, not only did he bear our, the curse of the law, but the Bible says he also bore our sins. Isn't that right? But, so are you saying that we can live however we want to and not suffer any consequences? Absolutely not. No. He bore our sins, but as a Christian, I've sinned. Have you ever sinned as a Christian? Yeah. And so just because he bore your sin doesn't mean that you'll never sin, right? Isn't that right? But we can appropriate what Christ did for us on the cross by repenting, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive. And so it's part of returning back to him. Does that make sense? You know, here's another one, another argument. Well, tithing was part of the law, and I'm not under the law, I'm under grace. Well, first of all, that's not true, because tithing was long before the law, but let's just go that route. Let's just go that route just for a minute. That makes no sense, because there are a lot of things that are under the law that we should still follow. Under the law, didn't they say thou shalt not kill? So are you saying, okay, well, it's okay for me to kill because I'm not under the law, and under the law they say thou shalt not kill? That wouldn't make much sense. Isn't that right? Yeah. Benny, give me your wallet. So you don't got your wallet? You playing me, right? Joe, give me your wallet. He ain't had no money in it no ways. That's okay. I'm beginning. Yeah. So I'm going to say, okay. Thank you, Minister Joe. I appreciate that. All right, let's keep going. Why y'all looking at me like that? No, I mean, it's okay for me to steal his wallet, because stealing was under the law. And now that I'm not under the law, it's okay to steal. Make sense? So what makes us think that all of a sudden that just because tithing, and it was before the law, but if we're just going to go follow your argument, what makes you think that you have to stop tithing now that I'm not under the law? Does that make sense? You got it. You know, thou shalt not commit adultery. That was under the law. Does that make sense? How many of we should not commit adultery? And if you do, there's going to be a consequence. There's going to be a curse. You understand? In a whole lot of areas. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, you know, you look at all different areas. You got it. You need to look at, you know, husbands, you need to look at the wives with the cast iron frying pans. And they have now elevated to, they carry guns in their bags. Yes, they do. Without Limits is the safest place in New Bern. Because not only do we have the popo, you got it, but we got a whole bunch of ladies. Pastor, let them come up in here if they want to. Okay, so if I was to say, okay, let me give you one more. Let's just say that I want to tell some lies about Pastor Pat. And it's okay for me to lie on him, because, you know, thou shalt not lie was under the law. And now that we're not under the law, we're under grace, it's okay for me to lie. It doesn't make sense, right? It's foolish, right? So why in the world would I not do something that was an ordinary principle, which actually was not just under the law, but it went all the way back to the book of Genesis? You got it? And which leads me to my next point, point number two, that tithing is biblical. Tithing is biblical. All right? Watch this. Genesis 14 and 18. I have a lot of scriptures. Something, if you come to my church, I'm a teacher. I like to teach, so you're going to see a whole bunch of scriptures, but they're going to put them up there. And so that way, if you can't flip there fast enough, you know, charge it to my head and not my heart. I'm only talking right now to give you a chance to get there. You understand? And so, watch this. Genesis 14 and 18, it says, then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered enemies into your hand, and he gave him a tithe of what class? Not some, because homeboy had a whole bunch. You got it? You know, for some people, it's easy to tithe off 300, but let them get 3,000. Well, let me help you. If you can tithe off 300, but you can't tithe off 3,000, you have now disqualified yourself from ever getting anything that big. Does that make sense? You might get some money at the power of your own hands. Oh, because I'm not saying that there's not, sometimes you can, quote unquote, bless yourself. You understand what I'm saying? You know, there's some things I can do. No, there are some things you can do. But see, there's some things I do that in the natural, but because I'm a tither, God puts his super on my natural, and I live better on the 90% than I do the 100%. Does that make sense? So in this book of Genesis, this was 500 years before the law. In the book of Genesis, when they start talking about Cain and Abel, that was 2,500 years before the law. You got it? And so go to Genesis, the 28th chapter. They'll put it on the screen. And verse 22, and this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house. Watch this. And of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. This was 400 years before the law. So y'all kind of see kind of where I'm going, that it's not just under the law. So don't let people lie to you. Now they'll put up Leviticus 27 and 30. They'll put up Leviticus 27 and 30. Watch this. And here it goes again. All the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, it is the Lord's. It is, what's that next word? Holy to the Lord. In other words, it's holy to the Lord. It's set apart. It is a thing that I must not touch. It's the thing that I can't bother. Later on, maybe next week, we're going to learn that, you know, that God wants the first. Watch this, but he wants it first. Like, he wants the first, but he wants it first. Like, if I have 10 $100 bills, before I go spend anything, I give him the first $100 bill. Does that make sense? My military people know what allotment is. Y'all know what allotment is, right? Like, you go ahead and pay your car on allotment. And I'm not telling you to do this, okay? But you pay your car on allotment, those kind. So by the time you get your check, it's not really your full check because, you know, you got some things on the line. Well, that's how it is. When I see my check, I don't even see my tithes and offering. Like, I already know what I'm, all my tithe, it's already taken out. I already said there's so much offering that I'm going to give. I've already taken it all out. And I got minimums for offering. Like, on offerings on Sundays, I'm going to give a minimum of $100. Like, if I don't give anything else. By the time I get my check, God has already got his first. Does that make sense? Now, I'm not telling you to do that. I'm just trying to explain to you because, you know, as pastor, I set the example because some people say, well, because he's the pastor, he don't have to tithe. That's a lie. I'm a Christian too. I want to be blessed too. Does that make sense? No, I don't get it, but I understand because, you know, he's the priest and they brought it into the priest. But I'm receiving income. Does that make sense? I tithe off of birthday money. If I find, you know, $20 on the ground, haven't lately, but if I find $20 on the ground, you got it. I'm going to tithe off of everything, all right? So are y'all getting anything out of this? Okay, all right. Let's go to Deuteronomy 26 and 13. Deuteronomy 26 and 13. Watch what he says. He says, then you shall say before the Lord your God, I have removed the holy tithe from my house, and also I have given them to the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, according to all the commandments which you have commanded me. I have not transgressed your commandments, nor have I forgotten them. I have not eaten any of it when in mourning. I didn't eat my tithe. I'll break it down into today. I didn't take my tithe out back. nor have I removed any of it for an unclean use, nor given any of it for the dead. I have obeyed the voice of the Lord my God and have done according to all that you have commanded me. Watch this. Now, because he has tithed, he can pray this prayer. Watch what he says. Look down from your holy habitation from heaven and bless your people. This is an ordinary scripture that this is an ordinary principle that we see all through scripture. So tithing was an ordinary principle. And I'm not going to talk about offerings right now because this is, but he says, God really says, you have robbed me in tithe and in offering. But I'm just really just trying to talk about the tithe. Let me ask you a question. If Jesus himself told you to tithe, would you do it? Okay, some of y'all didn't talk. Let me go over here and ask these people. So if Jesus himself told you to tithe, would you do it? Yes, thank you very much. No, I'm just playing. All right, well, let me show you in the Bible where Jesus talks about it. So it's not just in the Old Testament, it's in the New Testament too. It's going to be a real easy scripture to remember, Matthew 23 and 23. Matthew 23 and 23. Watch what he says. He says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." He says, "For you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin." These are spices. "And have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faith." Right? So watch what he says. He says, watch this. "These you ought to have done," talking about the tithe. "So you ought to do this without leaving the others undone, which is justice, mercy, and faith." You got it? But there's people that fight the scripture, and they say these you ought to have done is not talking about the tithe; it's talking about justice, mercy, and faith. Let's just go that route. I'm a teacher, so I dive into it. Let's just go that route and say that even though they're wrong, because if you go to the Greek and when you do this, it makes it plain as day if you follow the scripture when you read it in the Greek. But let's just say, let's for a moment let them feel like they're right. So if they say these you ought to have done means justice, mercy, and faith, what does the rest say? Without leaving the others undone. So I got you either way. You got it? It's something that we're supposed to do. It is an ordinary principle. Watch this. They're going to put it up on the screen in a minute. Give me a second. That Jesus talks about it and tells me I'm supposed to tithe, but when I give my tithe, I'm not giving it, watch this, to a preacher. Watch this. Hold on before you clap. And I know y'all like to clap a lot, but hold on, because I want you to get it. Y'all can clap in a minute. Watch this. I'm not giving it to the usher. You got it? I'm not giving it to the local church. I'm bringing the tithe to the local church, but I'm really giving it to Jesus himself. Watch this. Hebrews 7, before you shout, Hebrews 7 and 8. Hebrews 7 and 8. Here, down here on the earth, mortal men, the ushers, receive the tithes. But there in heaven, he, capital H, Jesus, receives them, of whom it is witness that he lives. So the Bible says that when this transaction takes place, and I get so excited about this all the time, every time I read this scripture, that when this transaction takes place and I go and take my seat and they start playing and the buckets start passing, or you start hitting confirm on secure give, that yes, the local church receives what you bring, but Jesus himself is the one that receives my tithes and offerings. And that is why I have confidence in it. And I have confidence in it because he's the one that receives it and he's the one that blesses it. Which brings me to my third point, which is tithing is a blessing. Are y'all getting anything out of this? Yeah, I'm almost done. So we real good. Tithing is a blessing. I love this next scripture. What did I say? Yes, that's what I said. 2 Chronicles, the 31st chapter and the 4th verse. 2 Chronicles, the 31st chapter and the 4th verse. So Hezekiah is in an economic recession. Tough times. Everybody say tough times. Things are not going good. Things are not being produced the way they need to be produced. And so Hezekiah is starting to read the scripture. And as he reads the scripture, he's reading it, realizing, wait a minute. The people are supposed to tithe. So he commands the people to tithe. Watch what happens. Moreover, he commanded the people who dwelt in Jerusalem to contribute support for the priests and the Levites that they, watch this, that they might devote themselves to the law of the Lord. So Hezekiah, he reads the scripture. They're in this economic recession, and even though it's tough times, the people aren't doing good. He says that, I read the scripture. He read where it said, bring the tithe there. There might be food in my house. You got it? Now, I don't need any claps by this, okay? But you can just nod your head. We'll be good. Because when you come here, you receive spiritual food. So would you say that when you come to WLCC that you receive good spiritual food? Yeah. Right? Right. Well, let me help you. Somebody's paying for it. No. Somebody's paying for all this to happen. You understand what I'm saying? Somebody is paying for us to have all this staff, just to all buy all this equipment, you understand? And those kind of things, you will be amazed how much it costs just to do what we do. But we do everything by faith. You got it? Let me ask you a question. Can I be a little strong with you on this morning? Okay. How many of you all would go to a fine restaurant? Because WLCC is not Bojangles. WLCC is like Ruth Chris. And y'all agree with that? Okay, all right. So would you go to a fine dining restaurant like a Ruth Chris or, something like that, and would you eat that fine meal and then skip out on the bill? No. Some people do it every week when they come to church. And I'm not being mean. I'm just saying somebody pays for everything. Because those free ice cream sandwiches we give you in the summer, they ain't free. All right. So what happens is, but this is what happens. So now, and I teach you this because I'm concerned, because let me just tell you, the church is doing really good. So pastor's not teaching a lesson on giving because something's wrong. You understand? If we weren't doing good, we wouldn't let y'all come to the Super Bowl party for $15. Because that's a steal. You understand what I'm saying? You got it? No. We're doing extremely well. So it has nothing to do with this. I'm concerned about you. I'm concerned about your life because I understand. You got it? I understand the importance of it. So let's read. He commands the people to do it and watch how the economic recession is turned around and the curse is broken. 2 Chronicles 31, verses 5 through 10. As soon as the commandment was circulated, the children of Israel brought in abundance the first fruit, the tithe, of the grain, the wine, the oil. Now, please understand, I'm going to keep reading this, but that was an agrarian society. We're not an agrarian society. You can't bring turtle doves here. You understand what I'm saying? City of New Bern won't accept them. You got it? So, we have to bring these monies, isn't that right? Yeah, because that's what we receive, monies. Now, if you only receive turtle doves, you got it. You could take them to Max Place, but you don't receive turtle doves. All right? And of all the produce of the field, and they brought it abundantly, the tithe of everything. The tithe of what? Everything. So it's just not off, me getting paid. I'm telling you, anytime somebody puts anything in my hand, you got it? And so it's off of everything, all right? So let me keep going. And the children of Israel and Judah who dwelt in the cities of Judah brought the tithe of oxen and sheep, also the tithe of the holy things which were consecrated to the Lord their God. They laid in heap. It was a whole bunch. In the third month, they began laying them in heaps, and they did not finish until the seventh month. He told them, we are supposed to start tithing. The people start tithing, and they started increasing so much that they kept coming and coming and coming. Watch this. But you got it. That's why I like to lay it out so you can understand it. So watch this. And when Hezekiah and the leaders came and saw the heaps, they blessed the Lord and his people. Watch this. Then Hezekiah, he got concerned. Like any good leader would do. He said, wait a minute. He questioned the priests and the Levites concerning the heaps. And Azariah, the chief priest from the house of Zadok, answered him and said, Hezekiah, you got to understand, man. Since the people began to bring the offering into the house of the Lord, we have had enough to eat and had plenty left over. For the Lord has blessed who? His people. And what, you got to get this, and what is left is this great abundance. He said, you got to understand, Hezekiah, I know you're concerned about the people. Any good leader would be concerned about the people. But you don't understand. They started coming and they started giving and the curse has been broken. And if you think these heaps are a lot, this is just 10%. They got the other 90. You got to go see what they got. Giving is not what? Two testimonies that I hear. Two testimonies there. First testimony that I've always heard from a tither is, man, I'm so blessed. I mean, I can't be God-given no matter how hard I try. And then the testimony that I hear from people that don't tithe is they say, hey, pastor, you know, well, not necessarily to me, but they'll say, I can't afford to tithe. And let me help you with something. This is just the truth. You will never be able to afford to tithe until you tithe because tithing breaks the curse. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? All right. And so so let me see. let me play something soft, please, sir. We're gonna get out of here. We're gonna get out of here. I need some help. Joe, come here for a second. Let me who else do I want? Emmanuel, come here for a second. Benny, you come here for a second. And y'all just stand right here. Back up just a little bit. Yeah. And y'all just stand next to each other. All right. So I want to give you an illustration. So let's say I'm going away. I'm going away, and I'm going to be away for a long time. Let's just say that I'm going on a mission trip, but I'm going for a year. I'm taking kind of a sabbatical from the church, and I'm going to go, and I'm just going to do missions, and I've got everything set up at the church. Everything's going to be okay. You know, church is going to go on just like it should if somebody's not here. You got it? And those kind of things. And but the big concern for me is my wife. I want to make sure that she's taken care of. I want to make sure that she has everything she needs. I want to make sure that that she's good. And so what I do is I talk to Emmanuel, I talk to Benny, and I talk to Joe. Right? Now, Joe, his name is in the Bible, and Emmanuel's name is in the Bible, but Benny, his name is not in the Bible. And I tell them all, hey, every month I'm going to give you guys $10,000. How much? Okay, how much? $10,000. So every month I'm going to give each one of them $10,000 and say, hey, listen, this is what I need you. I just need each of you all to give $1,000 to my wife. You got it. I'm going to send it to you on the first of the month. It's going to be electronic. And I just want you to make sure that the first thing you do is you give $1,000 to Lady LaConte. You got it. And you can do whatever you want with the other $9,000. That's totally up to you. You know, not a bad deal. Right? Everybody would take that deal, right? Three times, right? Pastor, go away for 3 years, not one. You got it. So as I'm on my mission trip, I'm starting to talk to my wife, and you know, we're going back and forth about everything and how the kids are doing and how Hannah's doing, you know, with her horses and how Jay's doing on the basketball team. And she says, you know, he's getting really tall and those kind of things. And then I said, oh, hey, by the way, you know, how are things going? You know, how is everything going? She said, oh, everything's going good. I said, well, how about in the finances? You know, how's Joe doing? Oh, well, you know, on the first of the month, Joe, he comes and he brings $2,000. I was like, really? I was like, okay, because I only told him to give $1,000, but you know, that's cool. You know, praise God. You know, and I said, well, how about Emmanuel? Emmanuel's doing good. First of every month, you know, he brings the $1,000, like every month. You got it? And I said, well, how's Benny doing? She's like, well, we got to talk about Benny. She says, the first month he brought $700. The next month, he brought $400. And she's like, I ain't seen him since. What do you think I'm going to do? Because I love my wife. Isn't that right? So do you think I'm going to keep sending him and funneling him resources and he's not doing what it, I mean, he could keep the other $9,000. I'm just asking for him to give, watch this, just the $1,000 to my wife. You got it? And so what happens is when we give, Jesus learns a lot about our character, about how much we think of him, about how much we think of his wife, which is the church. Does that make sense? Yeah. And how much we respect him and how much we really love him. And so what happens is, then I shoot Benny an email and say, hey, Benny, I pray all is well. Just so you know, I appreciate everything you've done. You got it. But I don't need your help anymore. So when you don't see it, don't take anything wrong. Because I'm not going to say, I can't believe you did that. People do that all the time, and you mess up every... Quit fussing with folk. And I... Watch this. And now I take the $10,000 I was sending to Benny, and I send $20,000 to Joe. You got it? And people get mad. There you go. The rich get richer, and the poor get poor. That has nothing to do with it. The principle of the talents teaches us that when I handle what I have right, you got it? Watch this. When I don't handle what I have right, I don't put myself in a position to be blessed. But when I handle what's right, not only am I blessed with this, but I put myself in a position for God to bless me with more. Can y'all give them a big hand? And so I've made the decision that no matter what comes, no matter what goes, no matter how tough it is, that I'm going to tithe. Something that really helped me was my wife and I were in total agreement. I understand people are in different situations. Y'all know this was not a beat up, fussing kind. But you know, as pastor, I got to teach on things like this, right? You know, this is about the easiest way you can teach it. And I understand people are in different situations, different things are going on in people's lives. But all I'm telling you is that when I do it God's way, I'll get God results. Well, pastor, my spouse doesn't agree with it. Just pray. Don't fuss. Just pray. Pray for God to move. Pray, you know, for the spirit of darkness to be, you know, uncovered. You understand what I'm saying? Don't go home, you know, and put it all on me. Well, pastor said, and I'm about getting sick and tired of this. I'm tired of living under curse. I'm ready to be blessed. You causing me to be cursed. So either you're going to get up and get out of here, or, you know, we're going to do the right thing. Don't do that. Because you were praying for him to come. Now, number one, he ain't coming. And number two, he sure ain't giving. Pray. Don't just pray. Pray first. Let's pray. Father, we come to you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Believers praying all over the building. Father, we come to you.